Steve McCabe at 7 minutes to two. Good afternoon. I can hear you.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm very well, Stephen. Nice to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And you want to talk about genealogy, I think.
Well, this is something that I stumbled across about 3 weeks ago, and I've become absolutely fascinated by it recently. I saw an offer of a free trial at a genealogy website online, started looking around, found myself in about 15 minutes looking at a census form filled in by my great-grandfather in England in the 1800s, and I was hooked.
And I bet you were.
Well, put it this way, it's so fascinating that I discovered, last night, in fact, of all things, I actually managed to trace myself back to my 20th cousin two times removed, who happens to be the Queen.
No.
Seriously.
Now, the Queen, you are royalty.
Absolutely, I expect to be treated with the respect that entails in future.
She is your 20th cousin twice removed.
Yes.
You should be in the royal box at Wimbledon.
Quite right, too. I'm sure the people would take it that way. Now, granted, our last common ancestor was Sir Robert de Holland, who died in 1328.
Right. Oh, still, that's not that long ago.
In British terms, no, it's a blink of an eye, really, yes. but apparently, my 22nd great-grandfather was her 20th great-grandfather.
Gosh, there, but for quirks of fate.
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating. I've also found that going through a different line, I can go all the way back to William the Conqueror and Edward the Confessor. So I'm also related to the current queen through that line as well. In the end, everyone's related. We know that. But it's just nice to know exactly how.
Where is your estate in the Cotswolds, though?
Oh, well, I couldn't give that secret away. Although, it is worth mentioning that when I was talking to the producer, Jimmy, about this earlier on the phone, he asked me what we were going to talk about, and I mentioned this to him. And he said, oh, I'm related to, I think he said, James II of Scotland. And, of course, that's a direct ancestor of the Queen as well, which means that Jimmy and I are cousins.
You and Jimmy are cousins?
Very, very, very indirectly, yes.
About 40 cousins thrice removed, are you?
So, I would imagine somewhere along those lines, yes, but it's a very, very small world.
It's nice to know you've got royal blood, though. You can dine out on that, that's the thing.
I will see how far I get with it.
I always thought you had a bearing about you, you know, when you come in to do the panel sometimes.
Absolutely.
I thought there's a royal aura. Okay, so
you're the only person who's ever said that.
So that's Ancestry.com. So is that one of the Mormon sites?
Yes, it is. It's the company who run it are based out of Provo in Utah in the United States, which is, I guess, Mormon heartland, really. Church of Latter-day Saints. I don't know the full details, but I know that they're very interested in genealogy in general, so it's no great surprise that this would have Mormon roots. But it's a fascinating site. They have access to records, for example, of sailings from the UK to New Zealand and Australia back in the 1800s. Ah. They have passenger lists and the like. They've got convict records for Australia. They've got immigrant records into the United States. It really is an amazing way to spend hours and hours and hours.
I must have a delve and a dive, actually. Thank you for that tip. All right, so that's Ancestry.com.
We could be related to Jim.
Bound to be. I've often felt royal.
Oh,
I've,
sure, yeah.
I've often felt like having staff. Now, you've also discovered fearofflying.com. I've never heard of this.
Well, this was actually my wife takes credit for this. I'm a licensed pilot myself. I love flying. I can't wait to get on the plane. But poor Debbie, over the years, has not always been the most comfortable flyer. And finally, a couple of years ago, when she realised she's going to have a huge flight to get down to New Zealand to move here from the US, she said, I'm going to do something about this. And she found a website called fearofflying.com. Run by an American airline pilot and a social worker, psychotherapist type person. I forget exactly what he is, but he's a pilot and a brain man. And what he does is he offers a service which basically demystifies flying and gets people comfortable to fly. And it's worked.
Is he okay? It's worked for her. It's worked for Debbie.
Yes, a lot of people. Yes.
We kind of, I think, without ever having done a course, maybe know the theory. They show you how planes work and how the wind travels over the wings and how the planes stay in the air, and that reassures you. But I presume there's more to the site than that, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, he addresses it not just on sort of a superficial cognitive level. I mean, you can sit there and do Bernoulli's theorem and all the rest as long as you want. But what he looks into is why are you afraid? Where's the anxiety coming from and how do we address that? And that's an altogether more interesting way of looking at things.
People say, because we've discussed it on the odd occasion on the panel, and of course people discuss it occasionally around the dining table as well, and people don't like not having any control. That is one of the issues, isn't it?
that is one of the things that comes up in this an awful lot, is the fact that, you know, when you're driving, which is supposedly altogether more dangerous way of travelling, yeah, you know that you've got the steering wheel of somebody sitting next to you that you can see has got the steering wheel. When you're in the back of a plane, you've got no idea who's driving. One of the Debbie always does now, she meets the captain before they take off.
Yeah.
And so if they hit a bit of turbulence, she can sit in their back and think, it's got it. And she feels very confident now. She knows who's driving.
Or else you meet the captain and you think, oh, actually, his mind doesn't entirely seem on the job today.
Fortunately, so far, that's not happened. and you do realise that if she's listening to this, you've just undone all the good work that programme's done. You know that, don't you?
I'm sorry about that.
I didn't know you could actually ask to meet the captain. I mean, I've met a few captains in my time, but I didn't know you could actually request it.
You can always ask, and they might be too busy. The particular programme that Deb signed up for through this website actually gives her a letter to hand to the gate staff, saying, I am a nervous flyer, I would be very grateful if you could hook me up with the captain. And she's never been told no, and she's been doing a lot of flying recently. And her experience has always been that captains are delighted. They know they've got one more calm passenger in the back, it's one less person to freak out during the flight.
Oh, that's interesting. So she's as right as rain now, is she?
Just about, yeah. There's still a little tiny bit of residual anxiety before long flights, but, you know, she has a good think about it. She meets the captain, and then she's absolutely fine. It's worked brilliantly.
I would have thought, even as a pilot, an experienced pilot like yourself, you could still have a bit of trepidation because it's not you flying the plane, and you mightn't think the plane's being flown as adroitly as it should be.
Well, I do grade pilots on landings, and I've been on a few really ropey ones recently, and I have occasionally offered a few tips to the pilots on the way out. They never listen to me. Can't imagine why not.
It all pales, though, in comparison with watching the great Willenda walk across the Colorado Canyon, really, doesn't it?
That just blows my mind. I don't know how he can do that.
No.
Put me up at 37,000 feet in a Boeing, and I'm perfectly okay, but looking at photographs of him doing that turns my stomach.
I'm glad you said that. Steve McCabe, thank you so much.